Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, the executive editor for SearchCIO.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on evaluating business process management tools. I'd like to first welcome today's speaker, Mike Cavas, independent consultant and CTO for MDOT. Mike has more than 23 years of IT experience, including 12 years in leadership positions. His areas of expertise include IT strategy and planning, organizational change management, BPM, SOA, EA, Web 2.0, cloud computing, business intelligence, outsourcing, and turnarounds. In addition, Mike is a freelance technology writer, researcher, and frequent conference and corporate event speaker. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, thanks for having me, and looking forward to the conversation.
Great, and as I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about enterprise tools for BPM, and I'll spend the next 8-plus minutes asking Mike to answer a number of questions about today's topic, so let's get started. So, Mike, what would you say is the first step in selecting your BPM tools?
Well, the first step is clearly defining your requirements, and the requirements are both from the business side and the technology side. But there's a lot of tools out there, and they have a lot of functionality, but you really need to get the tool that matches your requirements. And some of the questions you need to ask is, you know, are we going to be doing business rules in here? Because some tools have extensive use of business rules, others don't. Who's going to be using the modeling tools? Is it the business people or is it IT people? And that can make a difference on what type of tool you're going to select. How far are you going to take business processing? Are you going to do simulations, what-if scenarios, those type of things? And again, these types of features can separate one tool from the other. How many features do you need? Can the open source alternatives meet all your needs and save yourself some money there? What are the skill sets of your people in-house? You know, so there's just a lot of questions that you need to answer before you dive into picking tools.
Okay. So what would you say the BPM tool market is like today? Are there many options out there for enterprise IT shops?
There are a lot of options. And a few years ago when I was selecting tools for my organization, we were afraid of a lot of companies getting bought up because there's a lot of pure players. And the irony of it all was the big guys got bought up, like the BEAs and stuff, and the pure players like Lombardi and Savion and Pega and ActiveVoss, they're still out there and they're not getting bought up, which I find interesting because there are a lot of industries today that are getting bought up. You see a lot of the rules tools getting bought by the big players. So you have some of the big stack guys like IBM and Oracle. You have all the pure players, like I mentioned, and you have a nice selection of open source alternatives as well, like Italio and JBPM and WSO2 just released one. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot to choose from. There's a lot of hype about the integrated stack. You'll hear a lot, well, if you already have an enterprise service bus and you're already doing SOA, you might as well buy the BPM tool from the stack vendor. And I wouldn't buy into that hype because most of the stack vendors basically bought a pure player, and they're not any well integrated as any of the other tools. So you just got to be careful about the hype out there and do your homework on this stuff.
Okay, so let's talk about cost. How much are companies in general spending on BPM tools?
Well, that's a good question, and that's all over the place. So, again, it also depends on the scope of what you're trying to do. And I've seen some companies, myself included, leverage open source technologies and spend very little, just basically pay for support and services and spend very little on the tools. Then a previous job I was at, we spent between $200,000 and $500,000 on licenses, support, and training. That doesn't include all the professional services and the actual development. And then there's other ones that, you know, some of the bigger corporations spending over $1 million. So it's all over the place. It depends on size, company, scope of what you're trying to do.
And what specific tips can you offer CIOs on how to make the most out of the vendor evaluation process?
Yeah, and I have some good recommendations for this because a lot of people or a lot of companies, they just go to the Gartner Magic Quadrant or the Forrester Wave, and they go to the upper right-hand corner, and they find two or three, and they pick it, and they go. And that's not really good advice. I mean, those tools are just that. They're tools. They're one of many things you should look at when you're evaluating these software tools. I really recommend you also get out there and leverage some of the social networking tools and read some blogs from the people who have done it. go to the bpminstitute.org and read, some of the community content they have out there. Get into some social networking, reach out to your peers, reach out to people who've been through these and can tell you what the marketing slides don't tell you when you start talking to these vendors, client references, user groups, attend conferences. You have to do more than just look at the Magic Quadrant and those things. And then you really need to narrow it down to, three or four vendors, and you take your you create a weighted matrix of here's all your requirements and here's the ones that are most important to you, and you start scoring these guys. And you send a detailed RFI out to them. And it sounds like a lot of work, but there are some tools out there on the web where for like $250 you can get a template that has about 80% of what you need, and then you just need to refine that. But you need to answer both the business and technical questions from these vendors. And the reason why you want to keep it down to three or four, and I really recommend three, is because it's a lot of work. Because, you get these completed RFIs back, and they're 20, 30, 40 pages, and you got to go through them. So you get it down to three, and then maybe after you process that information, there's one or two or three left. Then the real important part here is an on-site demo, an on-site proof of concept. Because all the vendors have great marketing slides, they have great PowerPoints, and everything looks fantastic. But the proof is in the pudding. So what I've done in the past, and I wrote about this in an article on the BPM Institute, is we defined a one-day proof of concept, which actually took a small process that was real to our business and had these vendors come in, each had their own day, and prove that they could go through and knock this out in a day, and it was as easy as they were saying it was. And we even had them stub out calls to some services in our test environment. And that was a big eye-opening for us because, the leader from the business standpoint came in and fell flat on their face because they basically had nice marketing content, but when it came time to actually doing the work, they couldn't get it done in time, they couldn't connect to our services, while one of the other tools just came in here and blew them away. So you really got to go beyond the marketing slides and actually get them to roll up their sleeves and do stuff in front of you. Don't let them do it off-site and bring it in on-site. Let them do it in front of you. And that'll help you determine who's the best tool for your environment.
I actually have one final question for you. What would you say is the average return on investment of any BPM tool implementation?
Well, that's another tough question, and again, it's all over the place, and it depends on the size and the scope of the project. Where in some BPM projects are departmental in scope, so they're just trying to fix some form processing, maybe some little HR process or something, but then other ones, like ones I've worked on, were basically game changers. You take an organization that really has core operational processes and bring in BPM and totally revamp, transform the organization on the way they do things. And those, I've seen 8- and 9-figure ROIs based on those types of projects. The challenge there is those are huge projects that require transformation and they're very hard to accomplish. So, like I said, it's anywhere from being a very small ROI to being massive. The key is aligning the ROI with business deliverables, because I've seen some organizations do BPM for the sake of technology, but what you really got to do it for is the sake of the business. And where you see ROI is on increased throughput, increased sales, reduction of cost, eliminating waste, customer sat, employee sat, and in some cases, actually, a competitive advantage. If you're in, say, the insurance industry where there's so much competition, just by improving your business process, it can give you a competitive advantage over your competition. And some of those things are really hard to measure. How do you measure competitive advantage? But, again, if it's done right, BPM can bring back 6-, 7-, 8-figure returns to your business.
Great. And on that note, that does conclude today's podcast. Thanks again to Mike Cavas for speaking with us today. And thank you all for listening. Have a great day.